Scripture reading this morning comes from Galatians, the second chapter, and the 15th and 16th verse. We are Jews by nature, and not sinners from among the Gentiles. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Since by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified.
I can say without reservation that everyone here this morning wants to please God. And I can also say without reservation that we want God to be pleased with us. For Jesus said that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And the obvious meaning is the better we do at keeping his commandments, the more pleasing we are in the eyes of God. For God tells us to be holy as I am holy. And we understand that the calling for holiness is connected to how well we keep his commandments. So we strive each and every day to watch ourselves. We want to do all that God has called us to do through his word. We watch what we say. We are aware of how we feel, and we judge ourselves to see how we measure up, because we know that God judges us all the time. We want to make God happy, don't we? But we realize that we fail an awful lot. And in those failures, we know that we hurt God and that his joy with us has turned to sorrow. We can relate to the words that Paul wrote in Romans 7. In verses 21 through 25, Paul said, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, I serve the law of sin. You know, in class this morning, we kind of discussed this very verse. I knew it was in chapter 7. But within the human body, we are kind of like the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, but on an earthly sense, mind, body, and spirit. Our mind and our body wants to do something else different than what our spirit wants to do. Our spirit is weak. The flesh is strong. It leads us away. It's human. And it's very hard for us to control it. Paul had those difficulties too. There's no doubt that God desires us to show our love for him by living a life worthy of being called a child of God. But we are never worthy enough. Now, sometimes, somehow, that idea of being worthy makes us feel like we have to live up to the death of Jesus on the cross. And there is absolutely no way that we can ever be worthy of that type of love and sacrifice. No way. And worthy is a difficult concept, this subject. The idea is not that we are worthy of what Jesus did, but that we so value what he did that we seek to live in a way that upholds that gift. One in a life that values that gift. The difficulty lies in that too often we take it upon ourselves to be worthy. And when we sin, it's because we don't love God or that he doesn't love us. But how does a person who sins measure or stand before a holy God and find justification in his life? Let's go back and reread the two verses that Charles read. In Galatians 2, in verses 15 and 16, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. That word justification is a legal term, and it means to declare one as righteous. And for Paul, there are only two ways to be righteous before God. One, the perfection of our works of the law. Or two, we're justified by faith in Jesus Christ. And it is Jesus who saves us, not we who saves us. And when you read these verses, it's obvious that Paul believes the second one, not the first. We need to be clear. We are saved by throwing ourselves onto the grace given by Christ. Therefore, our faith in him calls upon us to be in submission to him. It is a willingness to live our life with Christ as our Lord, as well as our Savior. There is absolutely nothing we can do to force God to save us. There is no amount of good deeds that can be done. Being immersed is not what saves us any more than a Jew being circumcised. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that baptism is not necessary. Baptism is absolutely necessary for one to become a child of God. But one could be baptized for the very wrong reason and never be justified. We are saved by the blood of Christ. And that blood connects us when we respond to God's calling through the Word. If we could save ourselves by doing good deeds or doing some religious ritual, we wouldn't need Jesus, would we? We wouldn't need him. We are justified. We are made right with God by faith. That's what Jesus had done for us, and we believe that. What he did on the cross is enough. Our faith calls us to respond to God's love. Well, let's continue reading. In verses 17 through 19 of Galatians chapter 2, Paul writes here, "But if While we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Paul's opponents, those who want nothing more than to discredit Paul and to pull the brethren away from what Paul had taught, argued that since faith eliminated the law, that Paul is encouraging sinful living. This is what the people were trying to do, to pull people away from Paul. They are trying to make Paul a contradictor. They're saying that if a person could simply believe in Jesus, they can then live however they want to live. It's that all grace by faith alone mentality. And for them, the end result would be to call Jesus the minister of sin, because as long as you have faith, as long as you believe or have this skewed sense of grace, you can live any way and do whatever you want. Now that should get our attention. Just because you see sin in me, and I state that through faith I am saved by the grace of Jesus, does not make Jesus the servant of sin. What it means is you see only rules as saving you, and only rules as condemning you. When we have that kind of mindset, we leave Christ out of the mix. Paul is not about to rebuild the law based on mentality. The fear that people have with grace is just what these people had with the idea that salvation came through Jesus alone. The fear is that we can feel okay when we live a sinful life because Jesus loves me. God loves me. And He is a loving God, that He will love me no matter what I do, no matter how I live. But it misses the point of Paul's teaching on grace. Grace compels us to live as Jesus lived, not a license to do what sin desires. Grace brings life where the law only brought eventual death. Galatians 2 and verses 20 and 21. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Verse 19, we saw that Paul's view is that he died to the law so that he could live for God. And with the law no longer being what brought Paul justification, Paul turned to Christ for how to live. We have that song, verse 20, in our songbooks. We quote it, we sing it an awful lot. Now, not necessarily here in the congregation, but there are a lot of us here that know that song. I've sang it quite a bit. For Paul, that verse is his reason for living the way he lives. Paul died to Paul. Paul died to Judaism. Paul died to the law. But Paul is very much alive. And Paul loves the freedom that comes by knowing the grace of God. Jesus showed him how to live. So for Paul, he was crucified with Christ. The fleshly desires that were once a part of Paul's life is no longer his master. I'm not saying Paul didn't struggle, but he was not obedient to his flesh. The life that he now lived is a life lived completely in the faith that Jesus saves. No longer important to him what people think about him. It's no longer important to him that he needs to impress someone. Paul was a man of less than average stature. He was not a tall, strapping, bodybuilding man. Paul was not eloquent of speech. But boy, could he sure write letters. You see, even as much as people criticized Paul for those things, it didn't matter to him. Christ lived in him, and he lived in Christ. That's what mattered to him. That's what it means to live. It is a complete devotion to the one who loves you more than life itself. The one who paid the price for our sins. Life is about being in a relationship, not under rules. I can understand that grace can sound like a slippery slope for a life of sin. And there are a lot of people out there who use it for exactly that purpose. We spend a lot of time reminding each other how to walk the Christian life. But Paul isn't, and neither am I, throwing away God's commandments. But there is a greater calling about how to live when you love someone than when you simply have to be approved all the time based upon your merits. Yes, we sing verse 20. Yes, it is a reason that we love to live a life that walks in righteousness. And I pray that you will see how much more alive it is to be in a relationship with God through Jesus than it is to simply see if you are good enough to merit salvation. If we wait until we feel we are good enough to merit salvation, our body would have turned to dust because we'd be long dead before we'd ever think we could merit salvation. But the thing is, no matter what kind of life we live, when we obey the gospel of Christ, no matter our standing in the community, no matter our life that we live, when we have repented of those things, and we asked for those forgiveness, when we confess Christ, when we are baptized, it doesn't matter what we've done in our life, those things are erased. We don't have to wait to be good enough. Jesus didn't come to save the righteous. He came to save the lost. That's who he came to save. And if you're lost today because you're not a child of God, Jesus came and died for your sins. And if you love God, if you love Christ, don't you want to be an heir? Don't you want to be able to receive an inheritance? Sure you do. If you obey the gospel this morning, you're baptized for the remission of your sins, you will be heir of the promise. And by grace, you will be saved because we didn't earn a single thing. If you are a child of God and you have lived a life that is not worthy of a home in heaven, and you want to repent of those things and bring yourself back to a relationship with God, we want to give you that opportunity. If anyone has a need this morning, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.